Welcome. What's up, Ricky B?
What's up, buddy?
I laugh every time I see that. Ricky B, the 80s sensation.
The 80s sensation.
Good stuff. Yep, there. Yep, on that side. There it is. Excellent. So we have been pushing for weeks now about how we have some exciting stuff coming up. We have some cool guests coming up, some good things. And we have held up our end of the bargain. But yes, tonight's going to be a good one. We're looking forward to this very much. We were very lucky that this young lady's decided to come on the show when we asked her. She didn't even hesitate. I mean, she just said yes right away. There was, you know, we had to slip her a few dollars, but I'm just teasing. But no, she was very gracious to come on and talk, and we're looking forward to it very much. She has some amazing things she's going to show us and surprise us. She surprised us with it, actually.
Yeah.
She has these items. But I guess, Rick, without further ado, let's bring on Miss Trisha Morrison.
I got my glasses ready.
You got to be able to see her, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Trish.
Hi. How are you? I'm holding up five fingers here for Rocky Five, okay?
Yeah, I know. You know, it's and self-included, I will admit, you know, Rocky Five does get its fair share of beatings amongst films. I will, and I'm guilty of it as well. But it is a wonderful film. And when you break it down, you take out some of the things that people, you know, get negative about. Rocky Five. I mean, Rick always talks about it as well, how how'd you put it, Rick? It's like an unsung hero of the film saga.
What Tommy used to call it. And bear in mind that when I met Tommy, I had never seen Rocky Five, right? Oh, okay. And I still hadn't seen it up until 4 years after Tommy passed away in 2013. And the reason why I watched it was because I had to do an interview with Ryan, who does another podcast. And I felt that it was time to watch Rocky Five. But how Tommy described it to me was, he said it's the red-headed stepchild of the Rocky series, right? That's what he used to call it. And he says, and I don't know why, it was so good.
And he's right. I will admit, it's not trying to be negative about anybody involved. Sly's writing was amazing. Alvison's directing was amazing. Tommy being a very new actor was amazing. But he's right. It is. It does get a little redheaded stepchild treatment.
True. Yeah. And you probably know, you know, I obviously promote Rocky Five all the time, and that goes on Instagram, that goes on YouTube and Facebook. And I've got some great people. Karina in Romania, she blasts it out. Karina. Yeah, she does such a great job, and you blast out stuff for me. And then Tommy now has his own dedicated YouTube channel, so we'll throw in a little bit of Rocky Five in there as well. So there's no way that Rocky Five is going to be forgotten. In fact, everybody always talks about it because they hate it so much, or they like it so much, that they're always talking about it.
Well, that is true. I mean, it's one of those movies where, like you said, you're on one side of the fence or the other.
Yeah.
I happen to really like the movie. I just particularly wasn't, I didn't like how they dumbed Sly down too much with the brain damage. I thought they could have done a little bit more. Other than that, I thought the plot was great. I thought the storyline was great. I thought the acting, the boxing, you know?
Yeah. And you know, when you think about it, and I don't know whether a lot of you do think about the story, it was ahead of its time, because Tommy actually lived that, right? He lived that in his boxing career. You know, you see Duke, which is the equivalent of Don King, right? Yes. And then you see the managers and the promoters and boxers trying to get ahead of the managers. I mean, it's all true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tommy did say he felt he wasn't acting. He was just being himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had mentioned before you came on, you had something that Sly had given him. from the film?
Yeah, I brought a few little things which Tommy kept, and he kept since obviously 1990. And, you know, just looking through storage after he passed away, you know, you start to see what he kept and what was important to him. So obviously Rocky V's got Sylvester Stallone's name all over it, right? And here is some of his script here and the different colors as well. And so Tommy kept that in a binder. And then he also kept, believe it or not, his hotel bill from 1990. Can tell all the people he called. Because remember, he was, what, 19, 20? Yeah. Yeah, no, he was a young kid. So he's making all these phone calls, right? And for those that don't know, but in the olden days, we used to have to pay for telephone, right? Yeah. And it's in units. And it was the J.W. Marriott Hotel at Century on the Avenue of the Stars, right? And so he kept that. And then he also kept, which I thought was really interesting, and he never showed me this when he was alive, but it's the production schedule.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Nice.
And what it does, it lists everywhere, like on Tuesday, the jet airliner night, Philadelphia Airport, Rocky's Mansion on a Wednesday, and it tells you exactly what scene is going to be shown at that particular location. And I mean, I don't know anybody else has got one of these. And it's got Paulie's house, what they're doing there, packing the house up. You know, it's got everything listed there. So Sly, if Sly wants a copy, he just needs to let me know, right? And then this as well. And then on the back, it's got everybody that's in it. Right.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Which is really, really cool. And it was funny because it says on here, the story, all names, characters, and incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. So I thought that was really neat. And then inside this binder, he kept the script. I mean, it is the script, right? Wow. And it's called the shooting draft or shooting draft.
Okay.
And it's the 15th of January, 1990. It's got Tommy's name on there. And what they would do is, depending on what was the final, it would have the color, right, of that particular, revised script would be in there. Okay. So, for example, the shooting draft, the revised script had blue, pink, green, goldenrod, salmon, cherry, blue, pink, yellow, green, and salmon colored paper as being the final, right? In here.
Oh my goodness.
So I thought that was really nice. And then, of course, while he's doing this movie, don't forget he's also a boxer. Right. So he's having to go to various places to not promote the movie, but just to be him. And so he went and he visited a Jewish community center and all the little kids signed everything. And this is 1989. And they're asking him about the movie, you know, what's the ending going to be like? And so he doesn't give it away. And then he also, remember, he still has to work out as well.
Yeah.
So for training for his next boxing. So here he writes, you know, mirror shadow boxing, how many rounds in front of the mirror, how many stretch outs, the boxing. So it's got all this. And then also in here, which I thought was really funny, and I just found it today, is let me pull it out of here. It's in like tucked away in this little binder, and wait for it. It was his juicy fruit.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
This has got to be quite old, right? And it's got four pieces left in there. And then it looks like in here, he probably has George Foreman's number, telephone number.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, and you know, just little things like that keep popping up. And then a few pictures of some of the cast members that he was with as well. So that was in that binder. And then when we met back in 2009, he had storage that we had to empty. And right in the very back of the storage, in like a black plastic garbage bag, was something in there. And I pulled it out, and it was this. Oh, I don't know if you can you see it?
Oh, my God.
And it's got obviously the stars at the front, right? Yeah. And then it's got the champ on the shoulder here. I don't know if you can see any of that. So I said, well, where did you get that from? And he said, well, Sly gave it to me. And I said, well, who's Sly? Right? And sorry, if Sly is listening, you have to remember, I'm from the UK. My sport was tennis, was never boxing. My favorite movie was Love Story, right, with Ryan O'Neal. So I'd never even heard of Rocky V, any of the movies. Wow. And I never even heard of Sly. So he had to explain it to me.
that was the coat. Wasn't that the coat that he wore to the doctor's office?
The doctor's office, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, couldn't fight anymore.
It is that one. And the last time Tommy wore that was to Joe Frazier's funeral in Philadelphia. So I kept that. And a lot of people have worn it to take photographs in. So thanks, Sly. Still got it. Now and again, Tommy would put this hat on and he would say, I want to look like Sly today, right? So Sly was always top of mind. And then this hat he picked up off the street, and he said that this reminded him of his hat in Rocky V that he would wear. So those are a few of the things. And then, of course, got the ring belt, Tommy's ring belt, right?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Look at that.
So those are a few of the things that he kept. And then one other thing that he kept was a copy of a letter he wrote to Sly, right, dated 1990. And the contents of that letter I will not release today. but you'll get to hear about that in Tommy's official documentary.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Trisha, thank you so much for sharing all that with us. I mean, that was a surprise to us. You didn't even mention that while we were talking over the past few weeks. So thanks for keeping it a secret.
Yeah, amazing.
Let's see how special it was to him, obviously, by keeping all those items and you know, Sly giving him those things. I mean, not he wasn't put on the map because of Sly for boxing, but he was, you know, in the film world. And you could see it really meant a lot to him. He must have had a special relationship with him.
He absolutely adored Sly. I'll read you a couple of lines from Tommy's book that he wrote. And it says, and this is Tommy writing, he goes, I couldn't believe it. I had never acted before. I was in the Sylvester Stallone fan club when I was 11 years old. Posters all over my room. I remember being very nervous when I met Sly. I was playing myself in Rocky V. They gave me the opportunity and made me a household name. Acting was a lot of rehearsing. Boxing, you never know what to expect. I remember feeling more relaxed in front of people after filming that movie. I would love the opportunity to act again. I never did hear back from Sly during my dark years. I owe a lot to the sport of boxing. I would never have got the part without Frank Stallone's help and my manager, Bill Caton, who both believed in me. In the ring, I am a fighter who wants to be an actor. On the screen, I was an actor who wanted to be a fighter. I blended fantasy and reality, both on the screen and in the ring. I won a championship in a movie, and I wanted to do that in reality, and I did twice over. And those are Tommy's words. I mean, he wrote absolutely beautifully, but wow, that's his feelings on it.
He did.
That's really, really good.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah, Rick's involved in the Boxing Hall of Fame up in the Syracuse area up there, so he gets to meet a lot of the boxers that yeah. come in and out, and all of them have always had such high praise for Tommy. And I mean, Rick's told me he's never heard a bad thing about him. I mean,
No. Yeah. You know, it's the International Boxing Hall of Fame. It's like the granddaddy.
Yeah.
It's Canandaigua, New York. And
We went to the International Boxing Hall of Fame, Tommy and I, in 2010, and he was invited, so he got to be in the parade. And at the end of that Hall of Fame, he never got inducted, but we were in the parade, and they have cars that you sit on the back, and you come down Main Street. And so I sat with Tommy on that car, and on one side people would go, "Tommy Gunn, Tommy Gunn," and then on the other side, "Duke, Duke," right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he really loved the Boxing Hall of Fame. Yeah, maybe one day he'll get inducted there. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's they do quite a showing, quite a turnout. Matter of fact, we're gearing up for it. We're having our meetings. I do security there, so. We're doing getting things together right now as we speak. But I wanted to tell you, I have on this wall over here, not behind me over here, I have all my Rocky, Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up, posters. My Rocky 5 poster is one of my most favorite because it's so special that it came from a drive-in theater in Michigan, and I look at it and I'm just like, it just brings back a lot of it's just so cool, it's very special. And like Tony said earlier, it takes its share of punches, but it's got a great story.
I've been
these pictures up, so I'm sorry, we're sitting up. Yeah. I'm so engulfed in your conversation, I'm not even paying attention to the pictures. So I'll put them up as we're talking. You can keep talking, Rick. I'm sorry.
No, it's just, the storyline, everything. It's really, like I said, every Rocky movie has got a just like a heart of gold in it. It has a good point, a learning aspect, something you can grow from. Every single one of them.
It's funny because maybe it's not funny, but I have not watched any of the other Rocky movies.
Right?
So when Tommy was alive, he would turn to me and he would come out with something, and I'd be driving and he'd go, "You remember that from the movie, right?" And I go, "What movie?" And he goes, "Well, Rocky 5 and I go, "I haven't seen it, Tommy." And then he would start laughing, right? Because he thought I probably was the only person that he'd ever met that had never seen Rocky 5. And then he'd come out with something like, "Yo, Adrian." And I'd go, no, my name's Trisha, okay? And I go, who's Adrian? It was so funny. And then he said, "You know what? We now have to watch Rocky 5. And I go, "Okay, all right, when we've got time." And this was a couple of years before he died, 2011. And so he went to Blockbuster.
Oh, my God.
and for those that don't know what Blockbuster is, it was an actual shop that you walk in, you choose the movie you want to rent, You pay a dollar or whatever it is. You take it home and you bring it back. And then that's it, right? You've watched the movie. So he went to Blockbuster. They didn't have it. they had every other Rocky except for Rocky V.
It just blows my mind. He didn't have his own copy.
He didn't have his own copy. No. and so he came home and he said, they don't have my movie. They don't have Rocky V. I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, they don't have it. I said, well, did you order it? He said, well, that's a good idea. So he went back again, right, to Blockbuster, and he ordered Rocky V, and it took like 4 weeks to come. And then he picked it up, brought it, and then obviously we were working on other stuff. By then, he'd got arrested and all kinds of stuff, as you'll hear in the documentary, what happened on that. So we never got to watch it together while he was alive. And it actually got stolen from our house, Rocky V. Oh, we had some people come and they stole his little DVD player, which is how we were going to watch it on a little screen.
Oh, yeah.
And that person stole it. And of course, I still have the Blockbuster cover, right? And I still have the bill. And thank goodness Blockbuster has shut down now, because I can only imagine the late fees on it. Yeah. So I never got to watch it until 2018. Yeah, but I've never watched any of the other Rocky movies.
Oh, boy.
Wow. And the memories that must bring back for you.
Yeah.
You know, with of Tommy and...
It's kind of bittersweet watching,
you know.
Yeah, when I finally watched it, I then understood where those lines were coming from, right? Because he was himself in Rocky V, and he was himself in life. And there's one particular scene where you've got Father Kamine, you know, sticking through the window, and he's blessing Sly and Tommy in Italian. And, you know, so I think Sly turns to him, I should know because I've got the script, and says, I like how he does that or something. Or I love that or something like that.
Yeah.
And I speak Italian. So every time I was on the phone to somebody, I'd always see Tommy's face just as it was in Rocky V now, looking at me with that smile. And then he would say, I love how you do that. Right. And that was Sly's line. When I look back at it. Yeah. So.
So cool. Wow. So cool.
I mean, I know you were married to Tommy later, but so you saw a lot of him in the movie as well. So he was just kind of, like you said, just being himself. Right.
Yeah. Totally being himself, you know, even as far as when he opens the car door for that lady, right, in Rocky V with him. And he would do that for me, open the car door all the time, right, for me to get in. And I thought that was a nice touch. Well, now I know he got it from the movie, right? But did he get it from the movie or was it from him?
Right.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff was the real Tommy. And, you know, MGM are really good with me. You know, I'll speak to them now and again. And they love it that I continue the Rocky V stuff because there are certain licensing regulations that you have to have. You cannot be anybody out there just throwing the Rocky name out there. You know, like, for example, Agent Nick, right? He does all the stuff for Stallone. Well, you have to be licensed to do that. That doesn't come free to do that. Right. So they're very nice because Tommy is Tommy. Gunn was one of his nicknames anyway, Tommy Gunn, Tom the Bomb, all kinds of stuff. So they're just happy that I continue to keep the Rocky V, Tommy Gunn name out there, which is nice, which is cool.
And he was I
wore my shirt tonight. It's an Elvis Presley shirt, but I got it at Graceland, but I think of Tommy when I see it.
Yeah, he absolutely loved Elvis. Yeah, in fact, on his shorts, he'd have the bolt, And yep. And he would, his little slogan would be taking care of business, which was all about it. Yeah.
So cool. Ricky, I'm sorry. I think I interrupted you. What were we
going to say? No, it's okay. No, I was just going to say he was a hell of a fighter. I mean, his boxing record is very impressive.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, 48 wins, 42 by knockout. He had only 3 losses and 1 draw. He was the WBO heavyweight champion.
So, right. And
explain to me why he's not in the Hall of Fame. We have to talk to these people.
There's others as well.
Yeah.
Who should be as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't make those decisions.
Yeah. Well, there's a gentleman by the name of Ed Brophy who runs the Boxing Hall of Fame. I know him well too.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a pecking order. You can't just barge your way through and become a Hall of Famer. So maybe one day, but you missed out. From the age of 7, and I write it down just so I don't get it wrong, but from the age of 7, Tommy started training on his front porch, and amateur fights he had 290, lost 21, and then at the age of 13, he kind of retired from amateur boxing. And he went into tough man contests. Yes. Bear in mind, you have to be 21 to be in the tough man. But he went and he entered it in at the age of 13. And he won 50 and lost 1.
Wow.
Then Then at the age of 18, he retired from tough man contests, went back into amateur and for a few months, and he fought Kansas City Golden Gloves. He won. He won the Western Olympic Championships. He won the PAL Championships in Florida. He lost by split decision to Ray Mercer. And then at the age of 19, he started his professional career. And, of course, he did Rocky V at the same time. This is Tommy, right?
But didn't he? He also had the. I thought he won the 1980 Junior Olympics as well.
Western Olympics, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah, at the age of 18. Yeah.
All the way around, and checked all the boxes. There's no question in my mind. He should be in. You know.
He should be in. You know, there's. But it will happen. You know. A lot of it could be political. You just don't know, right? Because of the manner in which he was kicked out of boxing, which is why we're bringing the documentary out to get the story straight.
Well, I'll be talking to Ed pretty soon. So I'll find out what's going on.
That picture, can you put that picture back up? That is a really cool picture. John Rivoli or Rivoli, however you want to say it, I would say Rivoli. He painted that picture for me.
It's beautiful.
That makes sense, Trisha, because we know John. And I said to Rick when I saw that, I said, John never said anything that he has this available. You know, we would have bought one. Now it makes sense.
It is available. If you go on, you probably have to message John direct, but it is available through John. You can buy prints. A lot of people have bought them. Nope. So next time I expect to see one on each of your walls.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I would love to have him do the one with like this year with the Stars and Stripes shorts.
Yeah. I think he's got some plans there. Another cool thing that Tommy got from, which is very sentimental, and I don't know if you can see it. It's a glove locket here. Can you actually see it? I don't know. Can you?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's got Tommy's ashes in there.
Oh, wow.
And he wanted that, and he told me the story about the necklaces. First of all, if you look at Rocky V, you've got that necklace being given to Sly, right, in the ring. Have you got one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it out.
Yeah. There we go. So, and also at the premiere of Rocky V, they gave out those necklaces.
Really?
Oh, yeah, wow. At the premiere of Rocky V. And then Tom, so Sly gave Tommy a necklace that said DTA, don't trust anyone, right? So Sly gave him one of those necklaces, and unfortunately, the person that he ended up not trusting stole that necklace from him. So that was that one. And then Tommy had a TCB necklace from Elvis Presley, taking care of business. And on Tommy's necklace, he wanted, one of his wishes was to have his ashes put in boxing glove necklaces, and for me to give them to people in his life and in his death that were loyal to him.
Oh, wow.
And on the back, it says DWI, deal with it, right? and if Sly and Frank are listening, that those two were on his wish list. But yeah, so these hold his ashes, and that's the story, the true story behind these necklaces.
That's amazing. Oh, wow.
Beautiful. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned a couple times about your documentary that you have coming out. Can you tell us anything about it? I know that it's still not released yet, but can you give us some information about the still what's going on, how it's being recorded, when it will be released, where can we watch it?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's really exciting. Before Tommy died, he and I went to watch a movie called The Fighter. Mm-hmm. And we watched that. It was raining when we came out. And he looked at me. He said, you know, yeah, that's a good story, but my story is better. And I looked at him and I said, your story isn't over yet. You know, there's still more to your story. And he said, yeah, I know. But he said, but promise me that when we come to do my story, that it will tell the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the whole truth. And I said, yeah, okay. And just brushed it off, right? And then we ran to the car, and then we went off and got a hamburger because it was his birthday. So this documentary is being done the way he wanted it done, the way he lived and breathed it. And it will be based off his own books and words that he's written and his experiences. And it's going to be really interesting. There'll be the good, the bad, and the ugly in there. And we have some amazing people in it already. So where it'll be watched and when it'll come out, that will be up to the producer and the editing and everything. And believe it or not, the story is still evolving for him, but it will be done in the way he wanted it done. In fact, he kept newspaper cuttings, right? And he kept newspaper cuttings of everything that came out of Rocky, everything about his boxing career, everything about the potential fight against Mike Tyson that he was always dreaming about. Right. And right. One of the headlines on this, if you see, I don't know if you can see the whole thing, but it says, Boxer's story reads like a movie script. And he kept that. And he also read and highlighted here, at 20 years old, Morrison has a background that would make a Hollywood script writer famous. So he kept that and he said, well, you know what? This is going to happen one day. And so I kept everything and all this is going to be passed over to the people that will put it together and edit it. So basically it's just, you know, when the timing is right, it will come out.
Excellent. Will there be like, you know, home movie type things, you know, behind the scenes type footage, stuff that may never have been seen before, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah. You guys are going to love it. Everybody's going to love it. You know, whether you're a Rocky fan, a boxing fan, a whatever fan, remember that Tommy was somebody's fan. You know, they were idols to him and he was an idol to them.
Sure.
So you, and worldwide, right? Worldwide. You know, I was speaking to somebody yesterday on Facebook. It was more of a sparring match because they were telling me how awful Tommy was and that nobody would want to be talking about Tommy. And then I was then on Instagram with you who wanted to talk about Tommy. And then I was on Twitter with somebody in Ireland who also wanted to be on Tommy in a podcast, right? And I'm thinking, you know, there's people everywhere in the world not wanting to talk about Tommy, but still talking about him. So, yeah, it's going to be, you will like it. Yeah.
Well, looking I mean, I think Rick would agree that, yeah, oh, absolutely. Looking forward to it. But touch base on what you just said, Tricia. I think it's self-explanatory that regardless of how you feel about Tommy, good or bad or indifferent, look at the mark he left on boxing. Look at the mark he left on his film work. I mean, you can't argue that. Whether you like him or not, you can't. He was a world champion of boxing. You can't take that away.
Oh, no.
It's not something that was, you know, made up or whatever. He earned that and he got it. That's so right. Like him or not, he was world champion. Like him or not, he was in a Sylvester Stallone Hollywood movie. I mean, so.
And I take both.
Exactly.
Trish, haters hate. Let him hate, you know.
Well, and Tommy understood that too, because even in his own words, he actually says that anybody that fights Rocky is going to be the bad guy, right? Yep. So he said, I can't win in this movie. But you know, when you look back at Rocky V, where does everybody go when they go to Philadelphia? They go to where the street fight is, okay. You've got to agree with that, right? Everybody talks about the street fight. And then where do they then go? They go to the statue. Mm-hmm. Now, Tommy was in both those places. He was with Sly. You showed that photo of him and Sly up on the statue. And there they are, right? So two best pals there. And then you show them fighting in the street fight.
Right. Right.
It's a brilliant movie.
Yeah. No, it's like I said. Go ahead, Rick. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think a lot of the stigma for the Rocky V movie comes to the fact that, and we've all heard it, is because there was no actual ring, you know, boxing match between Rocky and Tommy. You know, it was a street fight and people were wanting the boxing match.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where a lot of that bad stigma comes from. You know, but I think that from Sly's interviews and hearing what he said, a lot of this was just near and dear to his heart, and he wanted to portray this in a different manner.
Right.
I think the movie played out perfectly well. It's just, like I said earlier, my only is the dumbing down of Rocky. I thought it could have been, he didn't have to be so dumb.
And that had nothing to do with the storyline or Tommy's character or the film's ending or the street fight. I agree. I understand what you're saying, Rick.
I think Tommy was, you know, so believable, you know, as a boxer, as a fighter, you know, and is the naive kid from Nebraska, you know?
From Oklahoma.
Come on, Rick.
Yeah. Didn't Rocky say you're from Nebraska? Go to your people, folks.
That movie's being, as you know, Trish, it's being released on a Blu-ray Steelbook 4K Ultra High Def, and I believe the release date is the first week of June. I know Rocky Five, and Rocky Balboa will be coming out in those. Rocky to Rocky Four has already been released, but we are looking forward to Rocky Five. It has a bunch of behind the scenes. It has a bunch of deleted scenes. It has audio commentary from Sly and from the director Alvinson. So we're looking forward to see. I've never seen any deleted scenes from Rocky V. So
yeah, I'm
very glad to see that.
Yeah, I have. And I had a conversation with John G. Avildsen, before he passed away. And he invited me to come to Los Angeles and sit with him and watch Rocky V for the first time. Oh. I couldn't have thought of a better person to sit and watch it with. Yeah. And then he also had footage of stuff that had never been shown, but he died. He passed away and never got to do that visit. But good. I'm glad. So I'm glad that's all going to start coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to be, it's coming out. Like I said, believe June. I know they're taking pre-orders now.
Yeah.
But like Rick said, let the haters hate. For however millions out there that have negative things to say or don't like him, there's 5 million that follow his career, love him, love what he did for boxing, love what he did for the Rocky saga, the Rocky film series. And he's in Rocky lore forever.
Absolutely.
Right.
You can't deny that.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Good to hear. I hear that quite a lot. I get people that send me stuff. I don't know if you know him. Felice Cantatore, he sent me his book.
The Rocky Spirit.
You know, and anybody that wants to bond with their Rocky V experiences, always find a way of contacting me and sending me messages and photos. When they had Rocky V in the actual theater a couple of years ago, I think, do you remember that?
They were re-released. Yeah, I think it was like a 1 week only thing. It wasn't around me. I'm in Florida.
Okay.
Me. I don't know if it was up by record.
No, I didn't see anything about that.
Yeah, there was in England, and I think in Philadelphia, there were certain theaters, and people actually messaged me a photo of them in the theater watching Rocky V.
Okay.
And I'd say, are there a lot of people watching it? They go, no, it's just me and someone else. So, but it, yeah, I thought that was kind of
cute. That one on the promoters, right?
Yes, exactly. That's right. Not on the movie. Yeah.
Do you have the Tommy Gunn action figure?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, when I saw it, I said, oh, they made a doll of you. He said, Trisha, that's not a doll. It's an action figure. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta get our men's vernacular down. They're not dolls.
Yeah.
Right? Trisha, is there anything in particular from Rocky V that holds a special place in your heart that Tommy kept? Like anything in particular that he always talked about that you feel closer to, or is it that you could share with us?
I think that the memories of Rocky V are maybe bittersweet for him. It certainly was something daily in our lives, Rocky V, and not necessarily the movie, but just stuff that he did that now I realize was all, you know, part of the movie. I think, again, coming back to the documentary that's coming up, you're going to love to hear how Tommy was during the Rocky days, because you got to remember, I wasn't part of that.
Right.
And I was only part of after it all ended, and there was no fame, no glory. And in fact, it's funny because I saw Netflix Sly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said he needed Tommy for glory. Right. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting, because Tommy, you know, for somebody to say that they needed Tommy for glory, that kind of made it me feel good. I wish Tommy had heard him say that, because he always felt that it was the red-headed step, you know, child of the program. But, he lived Tommy Gunn every single day. And his career was very much like the Tommy Gunn. Mm-hmm. One of the scenes that obviously is where Duke, a.k.a. Don King, says to Tommy, I have the contract, right? Talk to the commission. I have the contract. If you want to go with the best, you know, you go with the best.
Oh, yeah.
And I met Don King for the first time this past November, and you'll have to watch what happens in the documentary, right? Oh, wow. It's all about that and everything else. Yeah. Wow.
So is there any time frame at all that this is coming out? 6 months, a year, next year?
Again, it's up to the producer, right. You know.
No, I'm just teasing you. I'm so excited to hear about it.
Did Tommy ever talk to you about his boxing career, as far as who he fought Foreman, Mercer earlier, and many others, and did he ever say like who was his hardest opponent that he wound up beating? But any specific memories of his boxing career that he ever shared with you?
Yeah, he shared everything. In fact, he wrote his own book, My Boxing Career, and we sat down together, and as he talked about each fight, I would type it out for him, and then we sent it off to the publishers. So he remembered everything about every fight, little particular details about each of the boxers. I mean, that's pretty brilliant when you think, you know, having gone through all those fights and punches, that he could remember all his fights, right? Yeah. Every single one. And he obviously remembered the Bent fight, the Michael Bent fight, where he got knocked out in the first round. Mm. And we actually tried to contact Michael Bent and sent him emails, because even though you're in the ring fighting someone, after the fight's done, you're friends again, right?
Sure.
Or you become friends. And in fact, he always used to say, you know, when I got in the ring, I never looked them in the eye. You know, I didn't want to get to know them until after the fight. Mm. He was in there to take care of business, basically, is what he was saying. No. So when in fact Tommy did pass away, Michael Bent, who did knock Tommy out in one of his losses, he was the second boxer that called me to offer his condolences. Wow. And we spoke for about 2 hours, just really super, super nice guy. So Ray Mercer, he came over and to Wichita, Kansas, to be with Tommy, to open up Tommy's gym with him, which was really nice as well. And I had a yellow Volkswagen Beetle at the time. So you can imagine two heavyweight boxers sitting in a Volkswagen Beetle, both laughing and giggling. You know, they had such a blast. And then George Foreman, really nice guy. He has been so supportive with me. You know, he'll like stuff on Facebook. We'll email each other. Just really, really nice family, the Foreman family. So, yeah, it's nice to keep up with them. And, yeah, he would talk about those people, you know, every now and again. Yeah. He never put up all his photos until we moved into a house in Tennessee. And I told him, I said, get everything out. You know, have your man cave, kind of like what you have, right, in the background.
Sure.
And so he started to do that. He put every picture up, every fighter that he fought, and had the whole of his little man cave filled with his memories. And it was from that moment onwards that he then started to enjoy the past that he had, which was nice. Yeah.
That's laid out right in front of him. So he's reminiscing and looking at it. That's awesome. That's so awesome. Yeah.
So do you still have like his robes and gloves and stuff like that too?
You know, the robes are actually in the International Boxing Hall of Fame in the museum.
Okay.
Right. And I sent some shoes there as well for them. And I have actually I've got all his belts, but this one is the WBO belt.
Okay.
And it's actually, that picture that you just showed, that is the original WBO belt, and it was stolen from him in 2010. And I did trace the guy that stole it from him, who basically took it from him at the night we did the opening of the gym in Wichita in 2010. And he said to Tommy, oh, I think I'll refurbish that belt for you. And Tommy said, okay. You know, he trusted everybody. And the guy never returned his belt and wanted to sell it back to him. And we didn't have the money to buy it back. And so for years and years, and he was really upset about that. For years, we were trying to get the belt back. For years, I continued to try and get the belt back after he died. And in the end, WBO sent me a replacement belt.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Which is nice. But yeah, I did track the guy that bought the belt off the guy that stole it. And then the guy that bought the belt said he couldn't find it anymore when I said I'd like to buy it back.
Unbelievable.
It happens. But
DTA. DTA.
DTA. Don't trust anyone.
That's right. Good one.
Sly is absolutely right. Yeah. And I'm sure that there's people listening here saying, okay, well, how did Tommy die? Right. Well, you're going to find that out in the documentary. But just a few things that I always say in all my interviews is Tommy's death certificate. It says cardiac arrest, septicemia, septic shock, and multi-organ failure. He died September 1, 2013 at 11:50 p.m. And at that time, they drew blood, they did a post-mortem, and they found no HIV, no AIDS in Tommy whatsoever. And the post-mortem was professionally done. An expert witness wrote about it. And I have to thank the University of Nebraska Medical Center for having done extensive testing on him for every AIDS-defining disease, and they all came back negative. And I have every single result on paper that was professionally done by them. And you have to understand that, you know, that was a stigma on Tommy. So apart from the Rocky V stigma, you know, people always ask me, well, did he ever want to act again? Yes, he did. He did want to act again. And in fact, he wanted to be in Celebrity Rehab, which was a TV program. And they had a spot left. You know, he wanted to get off drugs because, quite honestly, the darkest years were very dark for him. He was on drugs and drinking, and he wanted to change his life. And so Celebrity Rehab had a spot for him to get on that program. And then they said, no, you know, you have HIV. So that kicked him out. Then there was another opportunity in 2011 to be in Raging Bull 2, I think it is. And then there was another opportunity for him to be in John Gotti Jr.'s movie, In the Shadow of My Father, right? And he was supposed to replace John Pesci in that movie. So that stigma followed him everywhere.
Right.
You know, and that was an awful thing to go through. And a lot of the answers to people's questions are going to be in that documentary, which kind of puts a good ending to everything. Tommy would always say, everything hidden in darkness will come to the light. And it definitely has done. Yeah.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing it.
Like I said, we are looking forward to it. We'll be watching. Yeah, we'll be watching out for the date, the time. We will be amongst the first to watch it, I tell you that. That's for sure.
There's a lot of
Trisha, we can't thank you enough.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, the documentary is called I Am Tommy Morrison.
Oh, great. Okay.
Very easy to remember. And it's all about him and all his friends. Yeah. Well,
you know, so we follow you and, you know, obviously you'll be having, posting when it is coming out, when the time does come. So we'll know right away. And of course we'll be more than happy to support that, but we can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing your stories, sharing the items that Tommy had, all the intimate details of things that you guys talked about, the upcoming documentary, which, man, I can't wait for that. I'm excited for that documentary.
didn't I see you have a photo taken of you and Sly in Philadelphia?
Yeah, that's behind that was, me.
Yeah, oh, so, okay, great. Yeah, I entered that competition as well, right?
Oh, yeah, did you really?
Yeah.
Frank Stallone would have got you in.
Yeah, I entered it too. I thought, oh, it'd be really cool. I've never met Sly. Okay. I've never spoken to him. I message Frank, you know, Frank now and again. We message each other. He hasn't blocked me, right?
Yeah, Frank's right there. So it's
right.
Frank and I.
Yeah.
Frank is a big boxing historian.
Oh, he's a huge
He boxer. Is.
Yes.
Yeah. He is, yeah. And he was the reason why Tommy got into Rocky V. And then Sly does follow our Instagram. We have the official Tommy_GunMorrison, which is the official Instagram, which is really nice. So every now and again, Sly will do a like. So I appreciate that. Sure. But thank you so much for having me on here. And thank you for remembering Tommy and Rocky V. Really appreciate it.
Always, we always will. And Tricia, hopefully you'll consider coming on again when the documentary gets closer or when it's released. I'm sure you'll be doing a lot of press after it's released, but we'll stay in touch. We see everything you post. We follow both sites.
So, yeah, maybe. All right. Maybe like just before, so you can plug it even more, you know.
Yeah.
That would be lovely. Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it. Arrivederci, buon viaggio, ci vediamo dopo.
There you go. Love it. Have a good night, Tricia. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Good night. Bye. Good
night. She's so sweet. Oh, my goodness. Wow. What a lovely woman.
Wow.
Those stories, my God.
You spend a lot more time talking.
That's what I'm saying. I could sit here and listen to her all day.
I know.
And she shocked the hell out of me with the belt. I didn't know that was coming. That was,
oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I saw that. I was like, oh, my God. It's the belt.
But you know what, though? It. I'm sitting here, and I'm just kind of like, I'm like boiling in my chair. His so-called, Tommy's so-called friends who stole from him.
Yeah.
And stole, you know, a freaking Rocky V DVD.
And come on.
Come on. You know.
Anything. It doesn't
because it was
matter.
In his house.
Like Sly says in his gift, DTA, right?
Yeah,
it's gonna be our new little go-to there, Tricia.
You go and you DTA. Take the freaking WBO belt. I mean,
Well, you know how it is. It's got to be hard for somebody of his stature or anybody's stature that has any type of success or fame to really know who to trust. Like he's like Sly says, you know, are they really my friend for me, or do they just want to get the belts and steal them, or do they want to just latch on to my fame? So,
yeah.
But lovely woman. So glad we had her on. We'll have to definitely keep an eye out for the documentary. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk to Ed Brophy.
Yeah, man. Talk to Ed. Tell him, say, listen, how do you not have a world champion in your Hall of Fame?
I know.
And like I know there's a lot of other people that are deserving
and,
as well.
And it's funny because I have not seen the robe because I would have, you know.
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, when you're there, you're working when you're there, so you're probably not really, you know, looking around.
Yeah, maybe it's tough.
Maybe go on a day when you're get there a little early or something and look for it.
Yeah. But I'm going to
send him shoes too.
I am going to ask, hey, where's the robe and the shoes so I can get my picture taken with it?
Yeah.
And why is Tommy not in? You know, like I said, there are others
who
would scratch your head.
That's all right. We'll start a petition for Tommy. We'll get that going.
Yeah.
We'll get him in.
Yeah.
We could. All right, brother. Well, I appreciate you again, as always, another good show. I thank Tricia Morrison for her time and her lovely stories and looking forward to some more.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Trish, come on back on just before so we can plug the hell out of it.
And,
you know, get it out there for everyone.
Looking forward to it. I'm assuming they're going to have some kind of premiere. So as soon as it comes, we'll definitely have to figure out how to go see it the night it comes out. So
yeah, absolutely.
Looking forward to it. All right, my brother. I'll see you next week.
All right, buddy. Take care, man.
See you.